What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host who does the most, Ethan Smith. I hope you all are having a phenomenal Tuesday, December 7th. I hope everything is going well for you. I hope everything is ramping up for your holiday season. Hopefully your Christmas shopping is going well and features a couple Built Bars in there. Maybe you're making some money on betonline.ag, or maybe you're getting your family DirecTV stream so you can watch everything together. Again, hope you all are having a phenomenal Tuesday as I am. It's yet another afternoon episode. I am back in the confines of my own home. We're having a wonderful time here in Savannah, Georgia. Hopefully the weather in Pittsburgh is not too bad for you guys. But as mentioned before, I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. And on today's episode, how can the Pirates improve the bullpen heading into 2022 as well? As a certain player in that bullpen, is his spot already full? Has the changing of the guard finally happened in Pittsburgh with the recent trades that we saw before the lockout began? Is it really time to consider certain players like Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes the future of this team for the next couple of years? And speaking of the lockout, how will it affect the Pirates in the short term and the long term? That is what we will be talking about on today's episode today. But of course, thank you all for making me your first listen of the day every single day, as you always do. You can listen every day wherever you find your podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, Google Play, and here on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan. You can also follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. With all that said, guys, you know when the music plays, it's time to get into the action. So let's get right into it.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And of course, everyone, welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host who does the most, Ethan Smith. Again, I hope you all are having a phenomenal Tuesday. And like I said, as the music plays, we get right into things. And how can the Pirates improve the bullpen heading into 2022? This was a question that I had on Twitter today, so I thought it'd be very fun to go ahead and cover it. Do not forget, guys, starting around next week or the week after, you guys will have an opportunity to be on this podcast, so always DM me, shoot me a message on Twitter, or even comment on YouTube or wherever you want to make your comments that you love to leave. Leave them, and if you guys want to be on the episode, let me know. I'd love to have you guys on. But the Pirates bullpen, of course, last season got off to a very fast start, as we all remember. They were one of the best units in all of baseball at one point. Of course, a lot of help came from Richard Rodriguez in that department. You had guys like Duane Underwood Jr. get off to a hot start, Nick Birdie, some other guys that were off to hot starts, Clay Holmes also. But of some of those names that I've mentioned, most of them are gone. Clay Holmes is gone. Richard Rodriguez is gone. You know, there's some guys that just aren't here or here right now in that bullpen that are just not very good. It just is what it is. If you had to ask me what the major weakness of this team is, it is hitting and pitching. Hitting the baseball, probably second to pitching, but the bullpen itself is not exactly a strength. Now, there is a certain player, which we will get to here in a second, that is a strength of this team, but it's very difficult when you only have one good relief pitcher in your unit. Now, of course, internally, I do think a lot of the guys that will be coming up through the system pitching-wise that may necessarily be starting pitchers may be shifted over to the bullpen just to get some reps, because I do think it's going to be very hard to see a lot of different guys in the starting rotation this year. I think Roenzy Contreras at some point heading into 2022 will definitely be a lock for that. As far as everybody else goes, you have some other guys like Chase DeYoung and Max Kranick that are going to be looking for reps, looking to see how they can improve on their game and stuff. And of course, they'll have opportunities in AAA, but we've seen with some of the moves that they've made, like with Zach Thompson and of course bringing in Jose Quintana, that they are going to have a loaded starting pitch rotation with a lot of guys looking to prove themselves, like JT Brubaker, Mitch Keller, Chase DeYoung, Max Kranick, Miguel Yajure, Roenzy Contreras, Jose Quintana, Zach Thompson, just to name a few, Bryce Wilson. You look at how many guys I just mentioned, and that's where I think the Pirates can improve on their bullpen. I don't think they necessarily have to have a reunion with Richard Rodriguez, which I talked about last week, so go check out that episode. It would be nice to bring Richard Rodriguez back, because, of course, he was not picked up by the Atlanta Braves on his tender, so he is now a free agent, but nothing can happen with the lockout right now, so we'll have to wait and see. But I think internally is where you're going to see most of the improvement from this bullpen. I think you're going to see guys get smaller reps of innings, like a Chase Young or one of these starting pitchers may convert over to the bullpen and give you one or two strong innings after a starting pitcher gives you a good five innings. So I could really see that being a way that they can do it. And now, when we talk about improvement, I'm not saying that this bullpen is going to be like a top unit in the National League or anything, right? But at least get into the top 10, you know, like an ERA. Like, if you throw it over to the bullpen and you have a 3-1 lead, you can really trust that you're going to keep that 3-1 lead. That was a major problem the Pirates had last year, was blowing leads. There was a lot of games that they really should have won that they had the lead in for a substantial amount of time, would get a very good start from, say, a Bryce Wilson or a Tyler Anderson or a JT Brubaker or one of those guys that was in the rotation, and it just wouldn't work out because the bullpen would come in and a Dwayne Underwood Jr. or somebody like that would just make mistakes. And we also saw Tashaun Shreve depart as well, and Chris Stratton I think will also play a big role in helping this bullpen improve. And then another question I had about the bullpen today as well was, is David Bednar the closer heading into 2022? As of right now, with how things are and the Pirates not being able to acquire anyone else, I would say yes, but I do think he will be the closer. But with this team expected not to be very competitive once again heading into 2022, sometimes having a closer is, I don't want to say useless, but there's not really much need for it. Like, of course, in like a crucial inning where you really need him to ramp things up and really need him to make sure that the game stays 2-1 or 5-4 or wherever the Pirates are at that point in time. And that also doesn't necessarily mean that he can't pitch more than one inning. I think David Bednar could definitely be that kind of guy who could pitch the eighth and the ninth inning. Of course, I would like to see him be a ninth inning guy primarily, but there's no point in that when realistically, the Pirates are probably winning around 60 to 70 games again this year. So David Bednar, of course, I think is our best reliever. I will go ahead and say that. There is a little bit of bias behind it, but I do think long-term David Bednar is the closer on this roster. I do think the Pirates eventually, whenever they do start getting back to that competitive juice that they're going to have, I do think that they are going to consider bringing in an actual closer. But a lot of times with these good teams, like you see like Liam Hendricks, Aroldis Chapman, the guys who have had success over the years, then 9 times out of 10, they are the guy that you go to. But there are some good teams where they don't necessarily have that one guy that they go to in the ninth inning. They may have two or three very solid guys that it makes it harder for the other team to scout against you. And I think that's one thing the Pirates can do heading into this upcoming season, is just make sure that you aren't easily scoutable in the bullpen, and make sure that you have plenty of arms that are going to make an impact when it comes to getting three outs. I mean, there were certain times earlier in the season in 2021 where you knew the Pirates bullpen, once it came in, things were getting shut down. Even if there's a runner on second or a runner in scoring position, things were getting shut down, and it was nice to see. But if you had to ask me this question in terms of what he will be listed as, yes, I do believe David Bednar will be listed as the closer, but he will be used outside of that as well, I believe. I don't think he's just consider it from this standpoint also, that with David Bednar, he's a young guy. We picked him up in the trade for Musgrove, so don't be entirely surprised if he just continues to be that guy in the bullpen for the Pittsburgh Pirates as a closer heading into 2022. And before we get into the rest of today's episode, I want to let you guys know about some of our wonderful sponsors. Of course, the first being BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, of course, has you covered for all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues to march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of your sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, meaning you could put in $100 and they will match $50 more for you to go win some money on betting on sports. That doesn't mean you just have to bet on football, though. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, of course, is where the game starts. And when you go to BetOnline and use that promo code LOCKEDON, let them know that Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates podcast sent you. Today's episode is also brought to you by the wonderful people over at DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So we enjoy that here at Locked On Pirates. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And we're back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. Of course, thank you all so much for making me your first listen of the day every single day, even if it comes out in the afternoon. You guys have been phenomenal. We are at 77 subscribers on YouTube at the time of recording, so I want to get that number to 100 before the new year starts. So you guys still have some time. You still got about 20-something days to get that done. But I do want to also go ahead and stress the idea that you guys have also been phenomenal on Twitter. You've been phenomenal pretty much everywhere. And you guys are the reason that I make this podcast every day. You are the reason why I am here. And, you know, maybe there's some guys in Pittsburgh that are still here for a reason. One of the biggest things with the Ben Cherington acquisition was, is this a changing of the guard in Pittsburgh? Is this going to be when the Pirates start trying to go contend? Is this going to be when the Pirates start, you know, making trades to improve the roster? Well, over the last year and a half or so since Ben Cherington has taken over, we have seen some interesting things. We've seen the Josh Bell trade. I mean, I think that worked out for the Pirates just because Josh Bell, I mean, he had a decent year in Washington, but he never was really going to be the future first baseman option of this team. Outside of his all-star, well, half of all-star campaign year in 2019. You had the Joe Musgrove and Jameson Taillon trades. I think those ones hurt me the most just because I grew a little bit with Joe Musgrove and Jameson Taillon. But so far, the Jameson Taillon trade looks like a win with Miguel Yajure and Roenzi Contreras looking solid, as well as some other players in that trade picked up as well that have also looked pretty solid as well. And the Joe Musgrove trade, I mean, of course, as we just talked about, David Bednar has been a phenomenal player as well. He's been a pretty solid reliever in the bullpen, so you've made that work for yourself as well. And realistically, as you see, if you're on YouTube at the bottom, I will say the question for those who don't see it: has a changing of the guard finally happened in Pittsburgh? And then read the second line: Brian Reynolds, Key Brian Hayes, and others will look to make sure it does. Now, I'm going to pause for a second, so if you want to, like, pause the podcast for a second and think about it, I will let you do that, so we're going to take a five-second pause. Okay, so if you paused, or if you didn't pause, and you still had time to register, I will say yes. And the reason I will say yes on this is because Colin Moran, gone. He was not going to be a future first baseman of this team. Chad Kuhl and Stephen Brault, gone. they were not going to be future starting pitcher options for this team. Maybe bullpen options, but either way, I think we've seen enough from both of them where we didn't need to keep them anymore. Jacob Stallings. I would have liked him to stay just to teach these young pitchers, but I think Roberto Perez has potential to do that as well. They're around the same age, so it was basically just a stone for a stone at this point. You pick up two prospects and another veteran catcher. Of course, Jacob Stallings, I think, is much better than Roberto Perez, but we'll see how it works out heading into this year. So you look at this roster as currently constructed. And last week, we looked at the projected opening day roster, and it's not pretty. It's really not. It's not a winning baseball team. We all know this. I'm telling you something that you already know. As the roster is currently constructed, this is not a winning baseball team. But here at the Locked On Pirates podcast, and hopefully yourselves at home listening or wherever you're listening, can look at it under the microscope of the amount of prospect talent that the Pirates have right now, albeit some of it farther away than we would like it to be, is there. And one thing, Gary was on the podcast yesterday, and one thing that we've said ever since he's been on the podcast is you can't put onus in the idea that every prospect is going to be good. I'm not here to tell you that Cannon Smith and Jigba is a definite good player. I just say my thoughts about it based on what I've seen him do in the minors. Nick Gonzalez, had him on the podcast a while ago. Phenomenal guy. Looked phenomenal in Greensboro this year alongside Leover Peguero. Does that mean Leover Peguero and Nick Gonzalez are going to be end up being the future middle infield of the Pittsburgh Pirates? Maybe. But here's the thing on why I'm saying has the changing of the guard finally happened. Ben Cherington is doing something the Pirates have not done in a very long time. You look at the Neil Huntington era, and it was a playoff era. They made the playoffs three times. The last three, 2016 through 2018, not even close. The Chris Archer trade, I think, is finally coming to fruition in the idea that this team has been set back a couple years from that trade. I'll say that. I think they have been set back about a year or two from that trade. So the 2023 thing about competing in 2023 and all that, I'm still there. But my idea of competing may be different to yours. Competing for some people may be competing for a playoff spot. Competing for some people may be just looking competitive, winning 75 games, kind of like the Tigers did this year. I'm more leaning on the Tigers side of things. Now, why do I say that? Because I think what's going to happen in this 2022 season is I think that Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes are going to fulfill themselves, and Brian Reynolds already has, I think, as the two best players on this roster. I think they will. So changing of the guard has now gone from Josh Bell, Jameson Taillon, Colin Moran, even Mitch Keller in a way, just because of how hyped up of a prospect he was, and other guys, they're all gone. There's eight major league players on this roster left that Ben Cherington inherited when he got here. Think about that for a second. Cole Tucker is the longest tenured Pittsburgh Pirate on this entire roster. He's changing things. And he's doing something the Pirates have not done in a while, and it's just be mediocre. But Brian Reynolds last year had a year that told people in Pittsburgh and even throughout baseball that he's a very damn good player. He's a phenomenal defensive player. A lot of people question his defense heading into 2021. I was even one of those people. He had a gold glove season. He didn't win it, but he was a finalist for a reason. And on top of that, he hit over or at 300 the entire year. Brian Reynolds is the new Andrew McCutchen of this team. They need to extend him. I'll say that. I'll agree with everybody that tells me that. They need to extend him. But as we'll get into with the lockout in the next segment, in the final segment of today's episode, there may be a reason why they're not yet. Key Brian Hayes, too. As Gary said, he mixed Key Brian Hayes' stats from 2020 and his stats from 2021. Looks very good for a rookie. He didn't have the greatest full rookie season, but guess what? He also didn't have a full rookie season. He was hurt on the second day of the season. He can never get his feet off the ground. By the time he came back, the season was halfway over. And he still played well. He still was a phenomenal third baseman defensively. With, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals play that they had near the middle of the year in Busch Field. One of the greatest plays I saw in a long time. I think Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to cement himself as the second best player on this ball club. So what does that do for you now moving forward? Well, that tells you you have two very damn good players, right? And then we've talked at nauseum that O'Neill Cruz, who had a very good weekend at the end of the year, Roenzy Contreras, Bryce Wilson, Yoshi Tsutsugo for the time being, Diego Castillo, Tucapito Marcano, Ben Gamel, Kanan Smith-Njigba, Jack Suwinski, Travis Swaggerty. Odds are one or two of these guys is going to pan out and be a very good baseball player. So what happens in 2022 if, say, the Pirates aren't winning, but Travis Swaggerty, you know, comes in around May or June and hits like 270, 280 on the year? What happens if Kanan Smith-Njigba does that too? What happens if Diego Castillo or even Leover Peguero comes up this year at some point and just rips the cover off the ball? What happens if David Bednar ends up being an all-star closer? You're adding pieces to the puzzle. This team is a puzzle. It's a very hard puzzle. It's like a 2,000-piece puzzle that takes you like weeks. It's like building a Lego set. You have to build the base somewhere. And Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes are the base as of right now. Do they need to extend both of them? Yes. For that specific reason of what I just said. They are your base. If you want to look at it in baseball terms, Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes are your first base to getting back to being a competitive baseball team and winning the NL Central and getting back to the playoffs at some point. But it takes a while. It does. And I know even me, I've seen this team in the playoffs three times and have seen four winning seasons in 23 years. Some of you have not seen a winning season since 1991, outside of 2013 through 2015. Some of you people in the 70s that may listen to this podcast have not seen this team win a World Series since then. It's frustrating, but the changing of the guard is happening in Pittsburgh. Ben Cherington, as many love to hate Bob Nutting, including me. But would he have hired a guy with a track record like Ben Cherington if he didn't think Ben Cherington had the team's best interest in his mind? The trades suck. The team, ultimately, sucks. It does. But we're still all going to wake up March 31st if they play, if the lockout's done by then, and watch them play the St. Louis Cardinals on opening day. We're still going to watch them throughout the entire summer. We're still going to watch them right before football season starts again next year in 2022 around August or September. And we're still going to root them on. So be here for along the ride when Brian Reynolds, Ke'Bryan Hayes, and the other supporting cast members are creating a movie in Pittsburgh that I would like to call The Resurrection of Pittsburgh Baseball. I think Ben Cherington is doing that because he's accumulated so much talent in this farm system. I personally cannot see it not working out in the long run. And I will be here, of course, to stay along with that ride. And you guys should too. And let's hear a word from our sponsors. And we're back. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I do think, again, like I said, I do think there is a major changing of the guard going on in Pittsburgh. But right now the Pittsburgh Pirates cannot do anything because the CBA has been locked out. So the CBA, of course, recently changed just a couple days ago, changed over. It's the first lockout since 1994-1995, and this one is a lot different than others. Biggest reason why, baseball is no longer considered, it is a top four sport in America, but it is no longer considered a candidate for best sport in America. Football and basketball have taken that over by a long shot. So, getting into the CBA and how it'll affect the Pirates, a lot of it is just going to be based on what is decided and what a report, like reports are saying about this arbitration stuff. Now, players want to be paid higher AAV over shorter years. You saw it with Max Scherzer, 3 years, $130-something-odd million. He got a lot of money. I brought up the Wander Franco contract yesterday with Gary before we started recording, and I found it interesting that he's not going to make double-digit figures, I believe, until 2024-2025. So for the phenomenal player that Wander Franco is, he's making like a combined like $8-9 million over the next 2 or 3 years of the $180 million that he's eventually going to get once he fulfills his contract, albeit he's going to get it eventually. Because he's a very good baseball player and he's going to be playing for that long. But I see where the players are getting with they want to be paid more. So the biggest question revolving around the Pirates now at this point is why have they not extended Brian Reynolds yet? And it's a very valid question. Because, of course, right now, if you were to talk to him, you would probably get him for a cheaper value than you will if he repeats what he did in 2021 and 2022, which he does need to for the sake of this team. But based off of what happens in the lockout, it's very considerate to side with Ben Cherington and Bob Nutting and the front office as to why they wouldn't want to. Because let's say they do sign Brian Reynolds to a pretty nice deal, but then they say, oh, well, arbitration is going to get cut down a couple years, and then you're going to have to pay players quicker. Well, I just mentioned Key Brian Hayes, and he's not going to be on arbitration forever. A lot of these guys are not going to be arb-eligible forever. And if they cut arbitration in half, which is usually 6 years of service time, to three, which is something that I heard is being talked about, the Pirates are going to have to make a lot of decisions, which is why I'm hoping the lockout ends quicker so they can make those decisions before the season starts rather than having them float around during the season. And that's for the sake of every team. Every team has decisions to make right now. And they can't make them because the league is locked out and they don't know what the CBA is going to agree upon. One of the other things, the expanded playoff could change the way the Pirates think. The short term is the arbitration stuff and all that. The expanded playoff thing is a long-term thing. Because, I mean, 2023, realistically, we say that's the year of competitiveness. Adding an extra playoff team for the Pirates could really make Bob Nutting and Ben Cherington think, maybe we had some prospects in 2022 that we think could have a really good 2023 season. Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes are our guy. Let's go spend some of this money that we saved over the past 2 or 3 years on some very good players and shoot for it. Maybe you are the sixth playoff team, but you're in the playoffs. Anything can happen. Look at what the Atlanta Braves did with what they had this year. The Atlanta Braves lost their best player, Ronald Acuña. Lost him to a season-ending injury, and it sucked for baseball because he's a really good player, and they still won the World Series. The Boston Red Sox were a team before the season started that nobody thought was even going to make the playoffs in the first place. And what'd they do? They made the playoffs. Almost got to the World Series. All it takes in baseball, and anybody can tell you this, all it takes in the playoffs when you get to baseball is just get there. Just get there. If you just get there, that can be what happens. Brian Reynolds could have a crazy wild card game in the if they still have it, and it could go off. So the lockout is going to affect the Pirates in a lot of different ways, and it's going to affect baseball in a lot of different ways. Now, hopefully these ways are very good ways. What I would like to see, and me and Gary talked about it yesterday, I want to see some improvements across the game in terms of salary, in terms of a floor or cap, whatever they decide to do, but just do it the right way. Arbitration, which is one of the things the Pirates need to hold their hat on right now. And just improve the game and make more teams competitive. Go look at half of baseball right now. We could go through the divisions right now. Are the Cubs and the Pirates competing? No. Are the Reds competing? They were last year. Are they going to compete next year if they lose Nicholas Castellanos, which is very, 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 very possible? Probably not. Right? Let's go through every division in baseball. The Baltimore Orioles, not competing. Minnesota Twins, after a terrible year last year, not competing. Kansas City Royals, not competing. Cleveland Guardians, they had a decent year last year. Probably not competing, though. Texas Rangers, bringing Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. Maybe they'd be a little competitive, but look at that team as a whole. Not competing. The LA Angels, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, two of the best players in baseball. Probably not competing. The Oakland Athletics are probably going to blow it up a little bit with Matt Chapman and Matt Olson. Not competing. Just in the AL alone, I named like seven teams that aren't competing out of the 15. So you're telling me half of the teams in the American League are not competing? The NL gets way worse. The Washington Nationals, not competing. Miami Marlins made a lot of moves, so we'll see. I already mentioned the Cubs, the Reds, and the Pirates. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks. No. Half of baseball is not competing for playoff spots. That's a problem. Look at the NFL right now. The NFC and the AFC playoff races are like this tight. They're tighter than tying a knot. I mean, they're ridiculous. And baseball needs to fix the competitive balance of the game. And that is what I hope that they do with the CBA. And I hope it affects the Pirates and baseball in a good way for years to come. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and tuning into what seems like a eulogy of sorts, talking about the changing of the guard and other things. Hope you all have had a phenomenal episode with me. I hope you all decide to tune in tomorrow as well. Thank you for making me your first listen of the day every single day. As you can see on YouTube, if you're here, you can listen every day wherever you find your podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan. You can follow this podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Pirates. With all of that said, guys, thank you so much for a phenomenal Tuesday episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you have some comments about everything. I will see you guys on the flip side tomorrow. Peace. Have a great one.